So we started this series in Ephesians 3 weeks ago today, and we're calling it Therefore. And so what's the therefore, a senior saint told me to look into the Bible, and what's the therefore? It's a conjunctive adverb that takes two different thoughts and ties them together. And so we said in the book of Ephesians, the chapters 1-3 are going to teach you a lot of what's called theology, knowledge of God, about the doctrine of God, who you are, who he is. And then the 4th, 5th, and 6th chapters are like, what does this look like when you live it out? So here's who God is. He's awesome. You desperately needed him. You knew it. You recognized it. He did the work, like we heard last week. He saved you. Therefore, this is how you live. And so we're going to be looking at a little bit more of that transition of the therefore. And so last week, Pastor TJ talked about that there's a true gospel. And he talked about the fact that we actually have some gospels that are fruitless, powerless. And so I talked the week before that in Christ, which happens 40 times, by the way, in the book of Ephesians, you're going to hear the phrase, in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom. I mean, it's 40 different times. You almost think that something being repeated over and over again is important, right? How many of you teach? We have a number of you in here. How many of you coach? How many of you have just people in your life that you get to teach things to? You may not call yourself a teacher, although you are a teacher for sure. Look, you repeat things over and over again. Part of it is because you want it to be known. Part of it is because it needs to be repeated. I don't know about you, but I get a little thick in the head sometimes. I need to hear something multiple times in different ways. And so we see that. And in Christ is the true gospel, the good news that you and I are not able to save ourselves. We're not able to save anybody else. It's like two kids playing in a mud puddle, trying to clean each other up. That's just not going to work. You may mean it. I really want to clean you up. I really want to help you. I really want to make things better. But the good news is bad news first is that you can't do it on your own. And you don't have to, friend. God actually said you can't. So I came down here to clean the mess. And he said way back in Genesis that he was going to do that. Way back. And so I want to remind you, and we'll have this on the screen. And Robin, thank you for stepping in and doing this today. We're blessed in Christ. And we get to live a life that reflects that blessing. That's the therefore, right? We're blessed, therefore we're a blessing. You're not just saved so you can have right relationship with God and OD on that kind of fellowship. You're actually blessed by God so you can be a blessing to others. Do you know that the blessing in Christ doesn't start in heaven? It starts here. Does anybody feel that? Like, I need to see God here. Do you know that it's his rule and his reign, his kingdom come? Where? On earth, as it is in heaven. So his kingdom agenda is what we're looking at. Today I want to talk to you about something. And I grew up thinking that I was something. I grew up rapping. I grew up just trying to put things together, being clever and all that. So look, today, and you guys can look at this and it'll be on the screen. Today we're looking at a mystery revealed and life fulfilled. Who loves mysteries? My mother-in-law, like Agatha Christie, all kinds of murder she wrote. I mean, and then books that I'm like, Mom, you're reading, whoa, what? Oh, it's a mystery. I'm like, it's a mystery why you're reading that. It's just a gross. But today we're talking about a mystery that isn't just like a whodunit. It's like this secret that was revealed. It was all along the world. It wasn't actually revealed. Although God said this was going to happen, he revealed this mystery that we're going to look at. And I'm going to let you in on something, because some of us and some of you online, we have this like 2-minute time, and I've been already talking for 4. So some of you, come back. But the mystery is the church. The mystery is the church. I'm letting the cat out of the bag because I'm not trying to just keep you around. I'm trying to encourage you. I'm trying to teach you. I'm trying to learn with you. But the mystery is the church, and life fulfilled is living as his people now and forever. So we're going to actually go back to Ephesians 2 to begin with, to hear about this mystery. And then it's revealed over and over again in Ephesians 3. And so there's a lot of repetition. Like I said before, from a coaching or teaching standpoint, repetition is really good. But, you know, it's only as good as you're willing to have it. And I will say this, it's God that works in us to understand. And so I've been asking him as I've been meditating and focusing on Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. I've been asking him and imagining that we would grow in him, that we would find strength in him, that we would understand things way better than Aaron could explain them. But I get to go for it, so I'm going to. Ephesians 2, 14 through 18. For he himself, Jesus, is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. Who's the two becoming one? Jews and Gentiles. You know what that covers? Mankind. Because to the Jews, there was Jews and everybody else. And everybody else was Gentiles, okay? And so Paul is saying, Jesus himself is our peace. He's made both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. What was that dividing wall of hostility? We could talk about a lot of things, but in the text, it just says it like this. By abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances. So was the law. Us having to fulfill something we could never fill and never fulfill. And so that was the dividing wall of hostility. We weren't perfect and we never would be. And he knew that. And so he put the law in place to point out that we need him. We need grace. Let's do that as a rhyme real quick. He put the law in place so we'd know we need grace. Okay? And that's important. That's critical because grace isn't earned. I mean, I don't mean to offend you in front of everybody, but this lady's name is Grace. Her first name is Laurel. There's like a crown of grace. And you know what the reality is? You can't earn a crown of grace. You receive it. Or you don't. If you don't want it, you don't have to take it. I'm going to keep preaching on it. I'm going to keep talking about it. But it's grace. And so that's he took that dividing wall of hostility between people who had been given the law, the Jews, and the Gentiles who never even knew it. And he tore that down. Here's something that I've been thinking about, right? And I said it a couple weeks ago, but I'll say it one more time, just maybe in a little bit different way. God gave himself and his laws and his rules and his provision to the Jews, but he gave life to everybody, and he gave them sun and moon and water and food and all that. And so there was grace given to everybody. But the Jews had a special relationship with God. Still do, honestly. A special relationship. And they still walked away from him. I want to ask you, what's worse? Not really knowing God at all, or knowing him and saying, nah. And so people are like, oh, you're anti-Semitic. No, I'm not. Not even kinda. The two becoming one means that we get to be part of the body of Christ, that we're grafted in. And so I'll get back to this. He abolished the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. He's our peace. He's making peace. Shalom. He is the peace. And he might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. He fulfilled the law by dying for us. He who knew no sin, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5, became our sin, that we might become his righteousness. Friends, he paid for you. Sis, he paid for you, bro. He paid for you. He did. Not you did, he did. And then he came and he preached peace to those who were far off. That was the Gentiles. And peace to those who were near. That was the Jews. Also, he preached to those who were far off that there were Jews that were like, nah, I don't want God. And those who were like drawn to God in his grace, that were Gentiles, they were closer to God than some of the Jews because they wanted God. And he was stirring that up in them. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. Through him, we both have access in one spirit. It's this unity thing. And so, one new man, that's the church. That's the mystery that's revealed. Verse 22 in Ephesians 2 says it like this. In him, in Jesus, that's one of the 40 times, by the way, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. That's life fulfilled, right? You and I are his church. Happens in a building, sure, you bet. But it's every day outside. You ever heard the story about communist Russia where these people were meeting in a building? It wasn't quite a church building, but it's where the church was meeting, so it made it a church building. And they were in there, and these armed men came in and said, how many of you are true Christians? Love Jesus, follow Jesus, worship Jesus. He's the only God. And about 7 of the 30-ish people that were in there raised their hands, knowing it was certain death. And they told the other ones to leave. And the 23-ish people left. The 7 that were left over were met in worship from these soldiers because they wanted to know who was really going to worship God. I think what's happening for us in our culture today is God saying, what is it that you worship, friend? Do you worship an experience or do you worship God? You know that sometimes we'll get a phone call, hey, who's preaching on Sunday? What's that about? You know who's preaching on Sunday? Somebody preaching God's word? Is he enough? Is this one man, like this body of believers? Well, I like it better when John's preaching because it's linear. I like it better when Aaron's preaching because we know for a fact that something funny is going to happen if it's not just him getting something mixed up. I want to know if Tony Evans is preaching. I want to know if these fancy preachers are preaching. I want to know if it's somebody who's super smart because that's what I'm coming for. Or are you coming for Christ? Because he's the one that puts us together, a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. It's about him. And anybody, any fool with Christ in him can make a difference. One body. So for this reason, the mystery revealed and life fulfilled, for this reason, which is another way really to say therefore, we're going to get to it. Let's go to chapter 3. I'm going to read 1-9, and we're looking at this the whole way through this morning. Say it. So I gave it to you in the front, giving it to you in the middle. I'm going to put that there at the conclusion. Mystery revealed, life fulfilled. Here's the mystery. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, not of Rome. Did you notice this? He's like, I'm not a prisoner of Rome. I'm a prisoner of Christ Jesus. He took hold of me. I'm captivated by him. I'm his slave. I'm his servant. We hate the word slave, and we should, because slavery's been a mess. But I said to you a few weeks ago, we all serve something, right? We all choose to serve something. You are not serving what you're serving unwillingly. Whether it's addiction or it's God. Whether it's fear or it's power. You and I serve what we serve. So he says, look, this is me. I'm a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Wait for this part too. On behalf of you Gentiles. I'm here so you guys can know the good news. Assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you. Like, I hope you understand that I was given this stewardship, this job, this ministry for you. How the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I've written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ. What's the mystery? He's got it like, this is the second time we've heard mystery already. Look, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Look, there's a mystery that not everybody got to know. Now, God said that he loved everybody and that he was going to have all the Gentiles be one, but people missed it. And it wasn't clearly said. And now it's clearly said to the apostles and the prophets. This mystery, verse 6, look, for me, sometimes I'm like, gosh, can you just get to it, Paul? He started a sentence and jumped in. Gosh, you know what's funny? Yeah, that's me. Like, start. I'm gonna stop. Some of you with ADHD like me, you're like, no, man, that's cool. For others of you, you're like, oh, Lord Jesus, help him land. Here's the landing, verse 6. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. The good news is good news for everybody. Everybody gets to be in the pool. Not everybody will be in that pool. Don't get that twisted. I'm not saying everybody's saved just because God wants them to be. No, look, we get to choose. That's a mystery too, but we'll have to talk about that on another occasion. Verse 7. Of this gospel, of this good news, that everybody through Jesus can be saved, part of the same family, same body, same church. At this very moment in this little tiny town, there's 5 different churches, different flavors, different denominations, scratching different itches, so to speak. But we're the same body, different parts. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace. It comes back to being about him again. That was given to me by the working of his power. To me, though I am very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. Gosh, he just cannot help but make a big deal out of God. It's his unsearchable riches. It's his goodness. It's his body. It's his work. And so I'll say it to you again. This mystery is revealed. Can somebody, just so I know that somebody's with me, if you guys are online, please type it in. What is this mystery again? Say it. The church. And what does the church mean? A bunch of white people? A bunch of, oh, okay. Now, Ben, there we go. Teachers listening. Jews and Gentiles. And who does that cover? Everybody. It's the whole kit and caboodle. Everybody. So let's look at life fulfilled. Let's go verses 10 through 13. So the mystery is that everybody in Christ gets to be the church. If you're in Jesus, you're in. Baptism is cool. I get to do a baptism later on today in the river. You can pray for me. That's going to be cool. Good thing. I know Christ. This person knows Christ. We go. But it is so cool. But that's like a picture, right? Like, I'm dead to myself. I'm alive in Christ. New man. New man. This whole idea, this mystery revealed is the church. Like Angie just said. The church. Not the building, but the body of Christ. Verse 10. So that the church, through the church, the manifold, that means expressed or shown wisdom of God, might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. I spent probably 2 hours this week just looking at that. Like, well, you get paid to just waste your time. No, it wasn't a waste of time. It was so good. God actually, through the church, is preaching to the angelic realm. They didn't even know. Now, some people think this is just the demonic, but it doesn't have anything evil. Later on in 6, we see the evil part of it. Like, angels are looking into this stuff, and they're like, oh, God is awesome. Look how he took his chosen people, and wait, there's chosen people here too, and everywhere, those who are far off and those who are close. Yeah, good news. God's with it. He wants everybody, and he alone can do that. And so he's showing his wisdom through his church. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. He did this on purpose forever. The multi-ethnic, multinational, multicolored body of believers. Do we need that today? Hey, friends, you're the hope of the world because Jesus is in you. You are. And we'd be like, nah, I don't like the way those people talk. I don't like the way the government is. Hold on. I'm an American, unashamedly, born and raised. I've never had the delusion as an adult who's in Christ that the government's going to save us. I just got in a car accident. My insurance company's there for me. Nope. Not for me. Yeah, after the deductible? No, I've already paid that. I had a no-fault accident. Look, they're not my savior either. Money isn't going to do it. Get a lawyer, get some stuff. Oh, that'll be a nice car. That's not going to answer all my problems. Jesus does. You know what? He doesn't always show me what the path out is. He's like, let's do this together, son. I'm like, could you just do it for me? I already did the heavy lifting. We're going together now on this one. This is so good. This is a life fulfilled. So let me just get to these verses. It's on purpose. He's realized it in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness. Look at this. Access with confidence through our faith in him. We have boldness. We have access with confidence through our faith in him. Remember, we read it last week. Faith is a gift from him. So he says just right here to these guys, so I ask you not to lose heart over what I'm suffering for you, which is your glory. If you go back to Acts, the Ephesians elders cried and just wanted Paul to not go. They knew he was going to prison and probably to death. And they cried, and he's like, no, this is actually for your glory. I'm going through hard stuff. I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ on your behalf. Friends, can we get it around our lives right now that hard things are used by God for his glory? This is life fulfilled. Max Anders, in this Ephesians Bible commentary, I looked for a title of it. It basically is Ephesians Bible commentary, so good luck. But Max Anders said this, spiritually mature, and I added, and fulfilled. So spiritually mature believers are strengthened by the Holy Spirit. They comprehend God's love as much as we can, right? They start to understand, like, oh my goodness, God really loves me. This actually changes everything. And they're filled with the fullness of God. And so we're going to go back, like Paul does, back to the whole reason why he started this thing in the first place. He was getting ready to pray, and then he interrupted with how awesome God is and how God brings both these people together, wrecks the hostility and all of that, and there's these unsearchable riches. And oh, by the way, I'm supposed to preach the good news to you Gentiles, and now I'm going to be in prison for it, but it's for your glory. It's all good. Oh, yeah, for this reason. Woo, let me get back, Paul says. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. Every father gets his fatherness, if you will, from God. Every family gets their familyhood from God, even if they don't give him glory. He's the one that gave him life. But he's like, I bow my knees before him, the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Out of the overflow of your heart, your mouth speaks. Where you look is where you go. So in your inner being, I'm praying for strength. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Paul, man, what? To know something that surpasses knowledge? Yep. People are like, oh yeah, because Christians just say if you just have faith and you don't have to worry about all the practical stuff. No, he's like, look, I want you to know something that's beyond what you can actually know. And I pray this, that you be filled with all the fullness of God. Look, there's four prayer requests in here, and I'll just break them down for you really quick. Inner spiritual strength is the first one that you'll see in here. He prays for inner spiritual strength in your inner being, that you would be strengthened by the Spirit of God. Number two, that you would have deep faith. That you would have faith that allows Jesus to come and live inside of you. Clean up every room in the house, even the ones you aren't so excited about. That you would know the love of Christ. And he also says later to make it known, right? This manifest wisdom, this shown love, this shown wisdom. And finally, he says, I want God's fullness in you. God's fullness is to be satisfied with God. We all want to be filled up with God. Maybe not as weird as some people, but we want to be filled up with God. As long as it works out. I mean, I don't want it to change too many things unless those things are bad. What if God is so holy that when you come to him, everything between my hand and my elbow, right in that area, those are the things he points out that needs to change. Smoke, chew, don't go with girls that do, whatever, you know, all these different things that he points out that, oh, I gotta stop cussing. All these things that you can do, but he's like, oh, I'm actually so much better than that. I'm actually gonna expose some things that need to be seen, and I'm gonna work on those with you right now. And now he's bringing stuff in and like, oh, I've got to fill up with God. Why was that a problem? Driving, I mean, everybody does that. I know, I'll stop flipping people off. Or maybe stop cutting people off. I got to get what I got to get. Well, he's going to show you continually that you're not perfect and only he perfects you. You're seated with him in heavenly realms, but you're seated with him. He didn't go, oh, Leslie's here. Can I sit by you, Leslie? No, he's like, I love you, daughter. Come on and sit with me. I've got you. I'm calling you to me. And let me expose where you're actually pushing me away. And that can be really uncomfortable. But if we want this fullness of God, it'll happen. Even if you don't want it, he's going to keep calling you to it. So let me read to you a couple of notes. The only way this will happen is if we actually want it. He won't make you do it. He will turn up the heat, and he will, if you're his, he's going to do this, and you'll end up going, oh gosh, I guess it turns out that I want God. I want all of him. I want more than I can even know how to say that. And you find yourself hungry and thirsty. Here's what's been really cool. Some people have been more in love with Jesus now than ever before, and their lives are more of a mess now than ever before. And they're not just saying, God, come to me so I don't lose my job. They're saying, God, I need you, because apparently everything can fall apart. And it will. If Christ occupies your heart, you're going to have confidence and security to live for him, to receive his love, and to share his love. And then you're going to be filled with him. You want him. His presence, his power, his love, his life will be in you and through you, church. And this mystery revealed is that everybody gets to be in him. It's the most inclusive exclusive, like we've talked about, that I can't come up with it. I'm just reading it. Everybody has to go through this little narrow path. His name's Jesus. But it's everybody, so that means whoever you are, whatever you look like, whatever culture you come from, whatever your financial situation is, whatever your skin tone is, whatever your cultural bias is, all of you, all of us, are only going to have life in Christ. That is an amen, Angie. And we get to participate fully in his kingdom right here. Fully. So what I've been focusing on, and I hope that some of you have been focusing on all week, is what we're going to end this with passage-wise. Ephesians 3, 20 through 21. He prays these things, right? Look, I want you to have inner strength in your spirit by the Spirit of God. I want you to have deep faith. I want you to know the love of Christ. I want you to make it known. And I want you to have the fullness of God in you. I'm praying all these things. And so this is how he ends. This is his amen, church. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, and whatever you could come up with, he's able to do more, far more, according to the power that's at work within us. Tell me again, church, what's the power that's at work within a Christ follower? It's the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. If you need an example of how powerful that is, that's what's in us. That's who's in us. Now to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, who's the head of the church, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is his amen. Look, now to him who's able to do all kinds of things, don't even trip on all the things he can do. Just trip on how awesome he is. Just rest on that. Meditate on that. Because it's all about God. Therefore, you and I get to be all about God. All you do is just talk about Jesus. I wish that's all I did. I want more of that. I live in the same world that my wife and my kids and all of you live in. And this is a mess. But Jesus is the Messiah. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he is not fretting about any of this. So I've been inviting you, and I'll invite you again, slow down your mind and your schedule daily to focus on Jesus, his word, his character. It's all about God, so just practice being in his presence. If you're writing stuff down, I encourage you to go to Ephesians 4, 4 through 7, and focus on that this week with us. Slow down in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, maybe all three. Just be ruminating on Ephesians 4, 4 through 7. Well, Aaron, there's so many psalms that are so much better. Praise God, go to that. His word, his character, his goodness. Fill up with him. Therefore, you'll be able to live this out. I got asked this morning how I was doing. And lately, my answer has been, it's been really hard. God convicted my spirit today that as I've been focusing on this, ask him to help me see him more. It's been really hard, but God is really, really good. That doesn't diminish the difficulty. That puts it in its place. And I know that I can be not just more than a conqueror. I already am that. But I can be this manifold wisdom. I can show the love of Jesus. That though I'm struggling, though there's challenges galore, that's not the final word on me. So let me read for you Ephesians 4, 4 through 7. This is what we're going to be looking at next week as well on the message. It's back to the unity thing. There's one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's over all, through all, and in all. But the grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Father, I pray that you grant to us that we'd be strengthened with your power, your spirit, and our inner being. God, that Jesus would be completely at home in our lives, every room. That we might know the love of God which passes knowledge. Lord, I don't even know how to unpack that. I don't even want to try. I just want to know you in this really, really unknowable way. And that all of us would be filled with your fullness, God. That we'd be about you because it's all about you. God, I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.